So that's what God has called us to do, is to go and share his word with the people of Mali, Northwest Africa. And as I try not to repeat myself, I sometimes listen to myself speak and hear the word, same word keep slipping out. And I think that word excited may have kept slipping out a little bit. But that truly is our feeling as we go over there and share what God has given us to do. But if you will, can you join me tonight in God's word in 1 Timothy chapter 6? 1 Timothy chapter 6, and really I'll read a verse before we get started tonight. And as I even mentioned earlier, it was really, my church was able to come to your men's conference this past fall, and the theme of what is your life got me dwelling on that thought, and really kind of got me studying God's word a little more about that, and had me develop this really message that's been on my heart recently. And I figured it was your fault the message came about, so now you're going to have to listen to it. And so James chapter 4 is a fairly familiar verse in verse 14, where the Bible says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And that question, what is your life? It's one of those deep questions, one of those, what is my life? What am I doing with my life? And the Bible gives us an answer right after that question, and it kind of shows us an interesting perspective on what our life is. And it says that our life is a vapor, appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. And it is so quick. One illustration that's really kind of helped me see that is, I'm a pictorial learner. And so if you could, with me on here, imagine a timeline. And we'll make over here our zero-year mark on our timeline. And let's make the pulpit here. We'll say it's 100 years. And the average life expectancy of an American has actually gotten higher recently, and it's up to 78. But we'll even round up to 80, and some of you may have already beaten that already. But 80 is the average life expectancy. And so on my timeline, I'm here at the zero-year mark. The pulpit is 100 years. I'm going to start walking along this timeline. And when I get to 80 years, I want you to tell me to stop. So a fairly good distance that I was able to walk here. But if we make a small little change, and we're back here at our zero-year mark, and let's make our end of the timeline, even just how long America has been around, and we'll round up to 250 years. And so we have our zero-year mark and our 250-year mark. When I get to 80 years, tell me to stop. Yeah, not quite as far. And even if we make just one more adjustment, we're back at our zero-year mark, and we're almost, believe it or not, halfway through another year, 2020. If we make the end of our timeline 2020 years, when I get to 80 years, tell me to stop. Yeah, stop. I can't even really take a step, can I? We're left with this little spot here. And that's really what our life is just this little spot. But if you're like me, a lot of times I'll spend a lot of time, effort, energy, money on that little spot and not focus on what I could be focusing on, and that is what is eternal. You know, our life is so short, but the Bible shares with us that after this short life here on earth, we have eternity that we can spend, and the Bible says, one of two places, heaven or hell. And the Bible says that really we are all sinners, and we do deserve to go to an eternal separation from God in the lake of fire, thrown into hell. And that's what we do deserve. And yet, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he has given us an opportunity to have that salvation and be saved from that really damnation to hell, if we can put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And I hope and pray tonight that you have made that decision to put your faith in Jesus Christ. But we as Christians who have chosen to put our faith in Christ and are going to spend that eternity with Christ, we have an opportunity in this little spot here to invest in something that's going to last for eternity. And really, I can't illustrate eternity on our timeline, kind of impossible. But we have an opportunity to invest in souls, and we can allow the Lord to use us to change people's eternal destination, to spend that eternity with Christ in heaven. And really, tonight, I just want to look at some passages because, again, we have an enemy. And a lot of times we know our life is short and we need to focus on winning souls to Christ and doing what God has commanded us to do in the Great Commission. But we have an enemy who really likes to distract us. And I love the message this morning that Pastor Tidd was able to preach about some excuses that a lot of people use to get their focus off of what's important. And really, that's kind of what I want to look at tonight as well. And if you're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you will, start reading with me in verse number 5. The Bible says here, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." We see here in this passage kind of two perspectives about life. In verse 5, we find a perspective that gain is godliness. And really, that's what the Pharisees wanted a lot of people to think and see the Pharisees and say, wow, look at those Pharisees. They have so much. They must be very, very godly people. But we find the true perspective in the very next verse, and it says rather that godliness with contentment is great gain. And it really kind of illustrates it for us, even in the next verse, in verse 7. And it says, we can carry nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Pastor Sexton would put it this way, we live between two nothings. We don't bring anything into this world. We just had our daughter, Adeline. And it would have been very nice if when Adeline came out of the womb, if she had a few thousand dollars in her hand. Just a little kickstart. Babies aren't cheap. And if she just came out with a few thousand bucks, that would have been really helpful. But we weren't expecting that because we don't bring anything into this world. The opposite is true as well. We don't carry anything out of this world. Look at the Egyptians and the massive, beautiful pyramids they built. The whole reason they built those pyramids was so that their pharaohs could get all of those earthly possessions in that pyramid and they could have the best afterlife possible. And yet, we come back 2,000 years later, and what do we find? Those possessions still there in those pyramids. We don't take anything out of this world. And yet, for some reason, we have so much invested in this little spot and not even focused on at all what we could be, which is eternity, and an investment that will last, an investment where we can hear Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And just tonight, I want to mention a few things that the devil has really used in my life to get my focus off of winning souls for Christ, off of eternity, and to get my focus on that little spot. And one of the things that the devil has used in my life is comfort. And as weird as that sounds, as the devil making me comfortable gets my focus off Christ, if I can explain myself, there's a lot of times where the Lord has put on my heart to witness to somebody. And I know that's what the Lord has commanded me to do as a Christian, is to be a witness for Him. And there's been a lot of times, sadly, where I've thought, I don't know, God. I don't really feel comfortable doing that. I would rather sit here in my little comfort zone and just stay to myself and live a nice, comfortable life and basically directly disobey what the Lord has commanded me to do. And that's a dangerous place to be in. and yet a place that I find myself in and have to keep reminding myself not to let comfort get in the way of what the Lord might use you for. And there's a lot of times where comfort can do that. There's a lot of times where maybe the Lord has been putting in your heart to step out and start in this ministry here at Lighthouse Baptist Church and be more involved in and being that encouragement here. And we would say, oh, that's not really for me. I'd rather be comfortable, and I'll be faithful to church, and I'll be here at church, but Lord, I don't really feel comfortable stepping out and serving in this ministry over here. And a lot of times we have an opportunity to invest in people and in people's souls and in lives of people, and the devil will allow us to get in our little comfort zone and say, I'm not willing to be used, Lord. I'd rather be in my comfort zone and miss out on that investment. I'd rather live my 80 years of comfort in this spot than step out and do what God has already commanded me to do and be a witness to that coworker, be a witness to that neighbor, be a witness to that friend or that family member, because it can be uncomfortable. If you're like me, I'm not naturally outgoing. You know, that person would be really good in that ministry. And you can use them, and I'll stay here in my comfort zone and justify and say, that person would be much better at it than me. And the Lord is just saying, I want you. I want to use you to invest in eternity. I want to use you to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and be a life changer for that person. And we need to be on the lookout and make sure that we're focusing on what truly is important. Not on our comfort, but on the souls of people that we could be reaching for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, another thing that the devil has used in my life is judgment. And not necessarily people's judgment of me. I would consider that more of a comfort, people judging me, so I don't want to do it. But sadly, I find myself judging sometimes of other people. And I'll see somebody, and you know, when we head over to Mali, 95% of the people are Muslim. I think it would be safe to assume that if we were to present the gospel to a person over there, they probably would have never heard the gospel before. But it's almost dangerous here in America where it's the opposite. And a lot of times we see somebody and we think, well, they're in America. They've heard about the gospel. And they've already, look at them, they've already chosen to reject the gospel. I don't want to be the person to bring that back up. And we see a person and we automatically judge them and say they've already rejected the gospel. And basically, we sadly try to put ourselves in the place of God. And God might be putting on your heart to witness to somebody, and we decide that for some reason we know better. And I say, I don't think so, God. They don't need the gospel. And the Lord really broke me of this when I was able to spend a semester over in England and help a church plant in Brighton, England. And I don't know if you're familiar with Brighton, but it is basically, it's the homosexual capital of England, and it is people's goal in Brighton to be unique. And they try to be very unique and look out of the ordinary, and they are very successful at that. And really, the pastor that we were helping, my traveling partner and I, Josh Hamilton and myself, were going down to Brighton, and we were trying to help this new church plant, and he said, you all need your hair cut. Well, I've been going to this barber, and I've been trying to get them to come to church. Why don't you go get your hair cut down there and be a witness to them, since you need it done anyways? I said, yeah, sure, we'll go down there. And we walk into this barber shop, and I see one of the barbers, and I think, okay, I kind of hope he doesn't cut my hair. I don't know about that. And then I see the other barber, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't know if I want him to cut my hair either. Are we in the right place? Did he send us to the wrong barber shop? Are these the people he's talking about? And we sat down and got our hair cut and started talking with those barbers and seeing that this was the right place. These are the people that our missionary is trying to reach. And by the end of that semester, they ended up coming to church and hearing the gospel preached. And really just showed me that, sadly, a lot of times I see something and I say, and I automatically make that judgment, oh, they want nothing to do with Christ. And that's not what God has shown us in the Bible. Jesus himself, if you're familiar with the story of the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman who most people rejected, Jesus saw as a soul that needed the gospel and offered her spiritual water, everlasting water, and was able to see a soul saved and then her become that witness. And there's so often where a lot of times the devil will use judgment in our lives. And we'll see somebody and we'll just shun them off. Or we'll say, now's not a good time, God. Or we'll sit in our comfort zone. And instead of focusing on souls of people, we focus on ourselves and on our little spot, on our judgment, preconceived notions and ideas, instead of relying on an almighty God who knows a whole lot more than you do. And sometimes we just need to constantly remind ourselves of that fact, that we can't let anything get in the way of what's going to last, of what's truly important. Can't let comfort get in the way. Can't let judgment get in the way. Our text here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 says we can't let possessions get in the way, which the devil uses so often. And Pastor mentioned it this morning, and so I won't re-preach a whole message, but there is a lot of times we would rather invest in this little spot here than invest in the lives of people. And it would almost be likened if, say, I won millions of dollars. I won a sweepstakes, and I go out to California to get my money, and I pick up this money to live the rest of my life on, forget deputation, I'm set, we can go straight to Mali and do what God has called us to do, and we get this money, and driving back from California, I'm not going to make that drive in one day, and going to stop at a hotel, and I figure, well, just came into some money, I may as well, I've never stayed in a penthouse suite before, and that'd be kind of cool, and so I call the hotel on our way home, and I say, all right, if you could just give me your nicest penthouse suite. I just came into some money, and if you could, go ahead and deck it out. Replace the carpet with the plushiest carpet you can find where I'm just walking on clouds. The bed sheets, I don't know how high thread count goes, but give me the highest thread count you can find to where when I just get down, I am set and asleep. The TV, now this is important. I think they have 8K TVs out now. And so if you could just replace, get me that 8K TV, and so where I can see the sweat dripping off the athletes, and just gold wallpaper. I'm not talking about like the paint color. Give me actual gold wall on the walls, and that would be nice. And I just deck out this hotel room because I just came into some money, and I enjoy this hotel room for that night. But then I end up and find out that I spent all of the money that I had won and have nothing to live the rest of my life on. And I think you would agree with me, it's a pretty foolish decision that I would just spend it all on one frivolous night. And yet I find myself so often doing that. I decide to invest all of my income and finances in this little spot here. When we have all eternity that we can be investing in, I still choose to invest in this. That's going to last for maybe 80 years, and we invest in things that we're not taking with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Ford guy, a Chevy guy, a Dodge guy, they all rot. They all rust. It doesn't matter what you invest in, if you're a Mac or an Android, they all fail, or they won't let you update them, and so you have to get a new one. They are temporal. We, as Christians, have an opportunity to invest in eternal things, to invest in people's souls and change their lives towards the gospel of Jesus Christ if we just don't get our focus off of that. If we don't let the devil get us focused on these little possessions that won't last, on the comfort zone that we like to be in, on the judgment that we have. And really just to close the message tonight is another thing that the devil often uses in my life is a lack of faith. And we see that all throughout Scripture. Many men where God wanted to use them, and they didn't have much faith. You think of Moses and all the excuses that he gave with his stuttering problems, and I think of Gideon most of all, where he was the lowest of his family, and he tried to reason with God almost like I did, and say this isn't going to work, God, and God just said I want to use you if you'll just let me. And sometimes we need to come to the point in our life where we just say, Lord, you know better than I do. And that's the point where it took me a while to get to, and why I try to give that testimony so it doesn't take you a while to get to, where you can just say, Lord, You want me to put this in the offering plate and start giving more to Lighthouse Baptist Church to reach the world with the gospel? Okay. You want me to step out and do this ministry? All right, Lord. You want me to witness to this coworker? Here am I. If we can just surrender our lives and say, Lord, I'm yours, and see the Lord do things through your life. Because the Lord can and wants to use you. Because there's so many times where we often say, Lord, you can't use me here in this situation. I'm not the person for that. And the Lord says, let me show my power through you. Let me use you to do to change this person's life. And he did that with Gideon. He brought great salvation to Israel through just a lowly member of a family, low tribe of Israel, and the Lord used him mightily, and the Lord can and will do the same thing with you. And the Lord will show you that he knows more than you. That's what he's had to show me constantly. And I, as I mentioned, I am not the public speaker and all these beady eyes, but really now I find I enjoy nothing more than getting in front of all of these beady eyes and sharing what God has done in my life. And I've come to the point where I realize, you know, God knows a little bit more than I do. He kind of created me. He knows what he created me for. If I can just rely on him and what he wants and see the Lord do these things, it's been amazing. And we really need to come to the point that Peter did in Acts. And I'll, for sake of time, won't have you turn there, but God told him to witness to the Gentile people. And so he went and witnessed to Cornelius and his house, and he went back to Jerusalem, and the Jews talked to Peter and said, Peter, we heard you ate with unclean people and witness to these people. What are you doing? And Peter kind of gave them an explanation in Acts chapter 11. And at the end of this explanation, he said a phrase that kind of stuck out to me. And the phrase was, what was I that I could withstand God? And Peter came to the point where he realized, who do I think I am that I can withstand an almighty, all-knowing God? And that's a point we need to come to in our lives where we just need to say, Lord, you know more than I do. If you want me to do this, I can trust in you and take that step of faith. And that's really just been my prayer coming into this meeting, was that each of you here tonight would get your focus on eternity and on what can last, and that we won't let comfort, judgment, a lack of faith, possessions get in the way of investing and what's going to last. And I am excited to see what the Lord is going to do with Lighthouse Baptist Church if we make that decision and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm excited to see how the Lord is going to use each and every one of you to reach this community with the gospel, to reach the world with the gospel, if we just say, Lord, I'm taking that step of faith. I'm doing what you've put in my heart to do, what you've preached through this word. I'll step out and do that. And really, I look forward to hearing reports of what he's doing with Lighthouse Baptist Church here in the near future in this community and around the world, and already the testimony that you have, and just seeing the Lord grow you closer to him as you don't let these distractions creep in, as you live a life trying to seek and invest in eternity. And really to close, can I just ask you to even think about this coming week? Think about your schedule. We all have different schedules. I don't know if you're back to work yet. Maybe you have a doctor's appointment. Maybe you're seeing that family member after a while. I don't know what your schedule might be. But this week, are you going to have an opportunity to invest in eternity? Are you going to see somebody that the Lord might be able to use you to reach? Because we don't have to wait to apply this truth in our lives. And during this time, we might have to be a little more creative, as we might not have as many opportunities to come into contact with people. But the Lord can and wants to use each and every one of you if you'll allow him to do so. And so if you will, can you go ahead and bow your heads and pray with me as we ask for the Lord's help in this matter? Dear God, we thank you for your word and the truth in it. And Lord, you've given us this perspective of life and how short it is, and yet how you've given us an opportunity to invest in people's lives as you've commanded each and every one of us to do. And Lord, we do have an enemy that likes to attack, especially a growing Christian and a growing church. And Lord, I pray that you would protect us and Help us not to let him get distractions in our lives to get us off focus of souls. Lord, I pray that you'd use this place to do mighty and miraculous things for your name's sake, Lord, that we would be able to bring honor and glory to your name and see fruit that remains, Lord. Pray that you would use Lighthouse Baptist Church to reach Indianapolis, to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that decisions would be made tonight to take that step of faith and follow you and what you have for each and every individual here. And we do pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.